Everybody, let me get you to get back to your seats if you're in the house. Let me say good morning to those of you who are online with us as well. Welcome to Colwood Church. We're glad that everybody's here today, and I hope that your weekend has been good. My name is Sean. I'm one of the pastors on the team, and again, thanks for carving out some time on your Sunday, on your weekend, to be here with us. We think Jesus is a pretty cool person, don't you agree with me? And so we're excited that you'll be able to worship with us today. We all understand that shoes are they're pretty important, right? Take a look at your neighbor's shoes right now and judge them on a scale of 1 to 10. What kind of shoe that they're maybe wearing today. Shoes are important for us, and they matter. I actually remember that when we had moved from Saskatchewan here to Victoria, somebody invited me to go hiking one day. And so on that hike, I threw on my runners, and they took me up a terrain that was not worthy of my running shoes, actually. It was a little damp, it was a little wet. So as we got out onto the hiking trail, different rocks on the trail, different tree roots and stumps, and you're walking over them. And I remember falling. It was not fun. And I quickly reminded myself that this is not going to happen again. So what I looked for in my life was a deal, because I'm that cheap guy, as my wife would say. I like to look at it as frugal. And I waited for the deal. And so I found this hiking boot that was going to become important for me. And I strapped on those hiking boots, and I decided to go on another hike. Now here was the deal with the deal that I had found. It was a size, it was actually a half size too big for my feet, but I thought, I'm getting a great deal, and I'm going to put this boot on my foot. And so I went on that hike, and needless to say, on the incline and then on the decline, my foot was shifting everywhere. At the end of that trip, I was actually in more pain in my legs because of not wearing the right boot. Not only that, I had these things called blisters everywhere. I was in pain. And so I looked for another deal, because that's what I do. And I just so happened to land on my next hiking boot. But the best part about this boot is that it actually fit my feet right. And so as I was able to continue my hiking journeys, and again, like, I love being outdoors and I love doing these types of things, I quickly noticed that I actually had a firm footing. In this proper investment now, it was a game changer. I was able to climb those rocks and step over slippery pieces without falling. I was actually able to be the individual who could put weight on my back and carry things around so that, you know, we would get to the destination, and meanwhile helping other people. And as you see on the stage today, there are other types of footwear that we kind of have in our lives. I of course would know that with these different types of footwear, i.e. these Sorel boots that I wear for our one day of snow in Victoria, like, this would not be a good application for me on a beach. Like, I'm probably not wearing those, and if I am, you can judge me, okay, if that were to happen. Whereas right beside it, one of the things Lisa and I love to do is kayaking, so I'll wear my water shoes. It'd be pretty silly for me to actually then wear my Sorels as I'm kayaking as well. And there are different types of shoes for the right time, whether it is sport, and then these ones right here too. I know some of you are now thinking, man, you've got really big feet, Sean. These are not mine. They're my son's, and they're monstrous. But you would notice that there's a type of shoe as well that comes with different spikes and different footing, because the type of shoe that you actually place on your feet for whatever you're about to do, it matters. And so really the question that I want to ask you today is what footwear are you using these days? What's the footwear that you're using? So to look at this footwear today, we're going to take a look again at Ephesians chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, I'm looking in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 15. If you don't have your Bibles, the words will be on the screen, and it is a part of our series called Spiritual Warfare. This is what it reads. It says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. I want you to put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. So therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. So stand your ground. Put on the belt of truth. Put on the body armor of God's righteousness, or the breastplate of righteousness. And then verse 15, it says, put on the shoes of peace that come from the good news so that you will be fully prepared for footwear. Put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. I will dare to say to you today that if you could memorize that verse right there, it could change your life. And we're going to unpack that a little bit this morning together. And so as we've read the word of the Lord, will you pray with me? And then we're going to jump in and we're going to talk about the footwear that you are wearing today. So God, thank you for this day. Again, thank you for your word. Your word is life. It speaks to us. And here today, you want to talk to us about our footwear. So I ask that you will help us to learn to be more like you. Help us today to evaluate what footwear we are wearing right now when it comes to the spiritual battle. And encourage us again, Jesus, to place on these shoes which are wrapped with peace today. And I give you praise for that today. So thank you for this time and the space that we have. Use these moments now to bring glory to your name. And I pray these things in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. This morning, we're going to speak from the subject irony. Turn to your neighbor and say, irony. I'll explain this in a moment. Now, for curiosity's sake, who are my foot people in the room? You love your feet. You love people to touch your feet. You're okay with that. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you that hate your feet being touched altogether? See that person. Touch their feet right now. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. We do not want injuries in church this morning. But apparently, feet are a really big deal for our discussion today. But did you know this? There is a specialty footwear for your spirituality. So today, we're going to look at that idea. There is a specialty shoe made just for you, and whether or not you will put it on. Our series, Spiritual Warfare, we are understanding that we are in a battle. We have an enemy. We've got an author whose name is Paul, who is writing to the Ephesian church, and he's actually sitting in jail himself. And he begins to look at these Roman soldiers and he sees what they're wearing. And then he spiritually begins to apply it to us. I want you now to put on this type of armor for your life. We've spent the last several weeks setting the stage for this series. We talked about the belt of truth. Last week we talked about that breastplate of righteousness. And here we land on this footwear. This is the question I do want to ask you, and I want you to see this today. I want you to walk away with this and ask it right now. But what footwear are you actually using in this spiritual battle? And do you know that you could be actually wearing the wrong footwear in the spiritual battle? So let's look at what this is going to be for us today. Our author tells us that these shoes are a shoe of peace. The opposite of peace. What would it be to you? What's the opposite of peace? I mean, we are looking at a lot of different things. Let me just name a couple as I've heard you mutter some of those things out already. But the opposite of peace: conflict, anxiousness, hostility, discord, strife, worry, fear. Have you ever experienced one of those things before? Have you seen that our world today is experiencing many of those symptoms in their life? And so we are told to put on these shoes of peace. Pastor Tyson actually gave us a great statement a number of weeks ago. And he challenged us by saying, if you get the diagnosis wrong, you will get the solution wrong. The diagnosis that we see today, maybe it is in your own heart and life today, is the diagnosis is unpeaceful, which is a word. You are unpeaceful. This is important for us today because what we begin to think about in this world is that because of the unpeace that is prevalent in me or so many other people that I see in our world that we walk in, the solution that we have placed there is that, well, I will just fix it myself. I will fix me. I will do what is important for me. And what we begin to do is we begin to fill our lives with just different stuff, different things. And we think that just because we are doing that, this peace is going to somehow return to us today. But if you get the diagnosis wrong, you'll get the solution wrong. And I think where we have to come back to today is we need to get the solution right. And so we're going to look at these shoes of peace. And I'm going to do that by sharing with you out of that simple verse, just four things today that I see for us today to move forward. The first thing is that if you desire peace in your life today, you need to fit your feet. That's what the scripture is indicating to us. Now, to do that, a Roman soldier would kind of wear these pretty flimsy different pieces of footwear. They were leather bound. And what they did is that they would begin to wrap themselves around somebody's ankle so that they were able to stand in the battle. This is what Paul is seeing as he's in the Roman cell. Yet the uniqueness of the Roman sandal, which was called the callige also on its sole had a couple different features. One of the features would be that it would be studded, or one of the other features is that it would be spiked. How many of you would like to wear those types of shoes as you are about to go forward into battle? These were important pieces of their armor, was their actual shoes. And the Roman historian Josephus, he would say this actually about the Roman soldiers. He would talk about people like Alexander the Great or Julius Caesar, people who were real and were a part of the story around his time. He indicated that these gentlemen had much success in their battles because their armies were well, and the old version would say they were well shod. They placed onto their feet these different types of shoes. These shoes were important for them because those successes came as their leaders said that they needed to march a really long way so that they were well fit. When the enemy saw the Roman army coming, they knew that they were potentially in trouble. They could get over to places because of these shoes. They could climb in territory that was a little bit slippery, a lot like my hiking experiences that we talked to. But not only that, we learn a couple things actually then about the Roman callige and the shoes that they were actually wearing. They were both defensive and they were both offensive. So these shoes would allow them on the battlefield to be stable. They would have these spikes, they could drive them into the ground. They could stand their ground at that stage. Not only that, you could kick somebody with your callige. Imagine that, you've got spikes on the bottom of your shoes. No better way, right, to take out your enemy. Let's just give him a good throat kick right there, if you could get your leg that high, right? But this idea, you could kick. Not only that, imagine this, spikes on the bottom of your shoes and hundreds, if not thousands, of Roman soldiers walking over corpses as they lay on the floor, spikes driving into their human skin. This is the image of what the callige represented for them. And it was painful. And it was deadly. One other neat note about this piece of armor for the Roman soldier, it was the only piece of armor that was worn daily. Consider that. They only threw on the other types of weapons when they were going to war. But the shoes were applied every single day in their daily activities. Shoes were that important. And so it's no wonder that Paul says to us, what type of footwear are you wearing when it comes to your spiritual battle? This is essential for everyday living. In fact, it was really interesting. There's this verse in the Bible, and it comes out of Judges chapter 1, verses 6 to 8. It's very random and super odd, but I want to read it to you. Adonibezek was a king, and he escaped whoever was pursuing him, but the Israelites soon captured him. And they cut off his thumbs and his big toes. That's weird. Adonibezek said, I once actually had 70 kings with their thumbs and their big toes cut off, eating scraps from under my table. Now God has paid me back for what I did to them. they took him to Jerusalem and he died there. Super neat verse, right? Like, can you imagine this king and you're in battle, and this is the importance here today, they're in battle, and you would cut off their big toes and their thumbs. What in the world is going on? What type of flex is that king actually trying to do? But you would also then begin to see, if you went a little bit more backwards into the Bible, you'd land yourself in Exodus chapter 29, verses 20, where it was the anointing of the priests, the pastors, to the temple. And to, so what they would do is they would actually sacrifice the animal. Then what they would do is they would take the blood of that animal and they would apply it to the priest's earlobes. Not only that, the scriptures will indicate that they then took the blood and they applied it to both the right big toe alone and to the right thumb on the right hand alone. They would place this blood onto their hands to do one thing. They were anointing these people for holiness. And so when these kings would actually come into play and they would come to these army and these battles and they would capture somebody, they would tend to cut off their thumbs and their big toes to make a statement. You no longer have the ability to be holy. We don't want you to be holy. Not only that, these kings, depending on the flex that they knew, in taking off somebody's big toe, it also meant that they were unstable if they were to ever be in war. And so if they didn't kill him the first time, they were probably going to kill him the second time on the battlefield because it made an ineptitude type of an army. And all of a sudden today, we begin to see these different pieces of the footwear and why your feet are actually so protected. But as I was considering that odd story from Scripture and this idea of that we've got to fit your feet, I'm applying that to our spiritual application. And this is what I'm wondering today. Could it be that even in our society, we are a thumbless and a big toeless type of a people spiritually? Have we allowed our enemy to cut off our big toes, not literally, spiritually, so that we are unable to stand in the battle? I wonder how many of us in our faith journeys choose not to place on the footwear. And because of that, the enemy has his way with our lives today. I'm curious. In fact, in verse 15, the word and the phrase was put on. Paul tells us to put on. As we learned last week, that was enduo. I want you to put on, I want you to sink into something that will save your life. I want you to sink into something that will change the trajectory of your life. And that something that he talks about today is the topic of peace. Somebody say peace. Which leads me to the second point today, that we need to put on enduo, we need to put on irene, which is the Greek word for peace. It is the counterpart to what many of us have known our whole lives in this word called shalom, which is the Hebrew word for peace. And now this is the Greek interpretation of it. Will you do something to appease me today? You look like you're ready to fall asleep on me. Stand up with me, okay? Everybody stand up, if you can, of course. In my experience, I would do this, and I want to make church interactive, all right? So turn to your neighbor and say, it's time, all right? Like, it's time to get a little bit engaged. We would do this song in Sunday school, and it has actions to it. And so you're going to do some actions in church with me today. And it's really simple. It's going to go, I've got peace like a river, okay, like that. I've got joy like a fountain. I've got love like a ocean. Okay, it goes like that. So it goes something like this. And do the actions with me. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my... Okay, stop. In my soul. But like what we did as kids, we pointed to the soles of our feet. All right? So we're going to bring the feet into play. We're talking about the feet, so that makes sense. So if you can touch your feet, do that. If not, just point to them. Okay, it's all good. Like, there's no judgment here. All right, so let's try. I got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river. You look funny. It's awesome. I got peace like a river in my soul. All right, do the joy. I've got joy like a fountain. I've got like a fountain. Got joy like... Touch your soul, all right? I got joy like fountain. Got joy like fountain in my soul. This is the fun one. I've got love like a, I've got sound to your neighbor. It sound funny. I'm like, in my soul, I've got love like an ocean. I've got love like, come on, work those quads out. An ocean. Now, all three at the same time. I've got peace like a river. I've got like, I've got in my soul. I've got peace like a river. Give yourselves a hand. You did it. I've got peace like a river in my, the most theologically incorrect thing I was taught maybe as a kid. Because it talks about your soul. See, here's the other thing. Paul says, fit your feet. But what I want you to do is I want you to put on those feet irene. I want you to put on peace. In fact, the late Billy Graham would define biblical peace in these three ways, and I think they're an excellent framework for us today. But you can have a spiritual peace today, which is with God and with man, with between God and man. So it's the peace with God. There is a psychological peace, and it is a peace within. It's the peace of God, that there is something that he could speak to your scenario, your situation. You could know that peace within. Then there is a relational peace. It is a peace among humans, with humans, which means that it is now among. These are the types of peace that we are talking about. This is what peace looks like in its wholeness. People in our world today are just looking for one third, perhaps, of what peaceful is. But I need us to see biblically today that these are the ideas of peace for our lives. They are so important. Let me show you in Scripture, again, just some of the importance of what we have here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18, it says that God has sent Jesus to you and I to make peace, to bring reconciliation between him and with you. That is the peace with God. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. That is the peace within. That's that psychological peace that Christ can bring to you. And Ephesians 2:16, the verses that we have been living in for this last year, that hostility towards each other was put to death because of what Jesus has done for you and I. I need us to see today that there is an enemy who wants to destabilize any of those peace moments of your life. There is an enemy who wants to tell you, he wants to plead with you, believe in the separation between you and God. But as Pastor Tyson led us a little bit earlier, that's not true. God wants to have peace with you. Not only that, you may be sitting here today in this room, you could be online with us, and you know that there is a lack of peace inside, and God wants you to see today that you can have peace even within. Or you may be at odds with somebody, and we see it definitely in our world, but what God is communicating to us today is that he has removed that hostility. We do not have to be at peace or at war with anybody. We can be at peace. Fit your feet, put on this thing called peace. Now the question becomes, but how do I put on irene? How do I actually put on peace? What is the solution to what is happening around me? So it leads us to the third point. And here's your answer. And you're going to probably be disappointed because it's not super deep. But according to our text, irene comes from the gospel. That's it. Well, that's not what I was looking for, Sean. I don't know what else to give you, to be quite honest. Because this peace, as we are seeing, it comes from the gospel. The gospel actually means good news. Your peace today does not come from more stuff. It's not going to come from other people or other experiences. Your peace can only come from Jesus Christ. That's it. Your peace can only come through Jesus. You want to know what that word gospel means? It means good news or glad tidings or proclamation, actually. The good news is this. is that there was Jesus Christ. He was sinless in his nature. He decided to go to a cross for our sin, for that separation. But because of his death and his resurrection, Jesus now is able to bring that reconciliation and that peace to your life today. If you want to experience peace, whether it would be the peace with God, or it would be the inner peace that you so desperately desire, or the hostilities that you may have with other human beings, it comes down to the person whose name is Jesus Christ. And you want to know what he wants to do for you today? He wants to equip you with that peace. He is not looking to withhold it nor withdraw it from you. He is looking to give it to you today. And I could show us this about who he is when I look at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, where it actually tells us that he is the Prince of Peace. Or Jesus' own words in John chapter 14, verses 27. I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, which is the peace with God, and it is the peace of God. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. How many of you have had trouble in your life, though? And it has caused that unsettledness within you. If I could speak from my own experience, these several weeks in the Chapman lives have been full of this restlessness, the next steps that are in front of us. I'll tell you, they've been hard. They've been hard on my mind. They've been hard on my heart. And the enemy wants to come in and speak a narrative over me, and it is not a fun narrative. Needless to say, I could tell you that there has been a lack of peace because of circumstantial pieces that have happened. You know what I needed in those moments? Irene. I actually needed to turn to the truth that is found in God's word, the gospel, that Jesus Christ, he has not left my side. I choose to believe that he's left my side, which is a lie. I believe that Jesus wants the best for me. But you want to know sometimes what we want to believe even more? That he doesn't want the best of me and that I deserve this right now. And I have to reorient myself back to this point. Peace only can come through the good news of Jesus Christ. And guess what? Jesus loves you. And he wants peace for you. And that's it. The Greek word that is used actually in this text and in this conversation, take a look at it, is evangelion, which means those three words. But you would also notice in looking at that word that it's a root word for one of our English words. Guess what that word would be? Evangelism. To evangelize. A victorious soldier must be prepared for battle. You know what a good soldier does? A good soldier understands the enemy strategy. But you want to know what a good soldier also does? They are confident in their own strategy. And I'm here to tell you today that the Word of God is a very excellent strategy for your life. And when you know this word, you can stand. The caligae that the Roman soldier wore, the shoes that they had, was all about their ability to stand firmly planted, stable, with everything that was going on around them. So let me ask you, do you today know the gospel, the word of God, the good news? Because my Bible indicates to me that when you do, your feet and your life are going to be fit. If today perhaps you are lacking peace anywhere, let me encourage you. Your strategy needs to become Jesus Christ and his word. Which leads to the very last thing that Paul says in his Roman jail cell to you and I. And he said, I want you to be fully prepared. So not only, you know, fit your feet, put on peace, and that peace is understood as the good news of Jesus Christ and who he is as a person, so that you will be fully prepared. Now, this is where the shoes that we place onto our feet become a little bit more offensive. Because as I shared with you just moments ago, that Greek word of good news, good tidings, was evangelion, which you also indicated was the English root word for evangelism, which means it is time for Christians as well, followers of Christ, to place on those shoes of peace, to take it to somebody else. So this is now our opportunity today to learn that. How many of you know that we have a world that is not at peace right now? You have a family member, you have a neighbor, you have a coworker, you have a schoolmate, and they are not at peace. But guess what I know? People are drawn to peace, yeah? People actually want it. They want to feel peace. And what we are seeing today is that you and I, when we place on the shoes of peace, we actually get to be the conduits of peace. We actually get to be peace messengers to a world. Let me prove this to you by looking at a couple key verses. In Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7, this is why Paul gives us some of this language, I believe, in the book of Ephesians. But how beautiful on the mountains, and we live in mountains, so it makes perfect sense here, are the feet of the messenger who brings good news, the good news of peace and salvation, the news that the God of Israel, he reigns. Come on, church, amen to that at least. Like, we get to now deliver this to people. Romans 10, verse 15 is same language to us today. But, and how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? And that is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. And so in a moment, I'm going to send you away from here. And you want to know what I'm going to do in sending you? Is go bring peace to somebody who needs it today. And some of you are even thinking, well, I can't give peace to somebody when I'm so unpeaceful inside. Not true. You have this ability to still bring peace into situations for people who are desperate and are dying to see it. The Word of God speaks to absolutely everything in our lives. Do we accept that, though? And are we willing to share it with somebody who is there? 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, I love this. It says, I want you folks to preach the Word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Whether that is in season, out of season, wherever you are, in a gas lane, in a grocery store, at home, in your neighborhood, wherever you are, I want you to be prepared. And what the Word of God does, it patiently corrects, it rebukes, and it will encourage people with good teaching. You and I today are to take the evangelion and share it with people who are not at peace today. You get to do that. I get to do that. And I'm reminded that preparation for a soldier, preparation was all about readiness. And you want to know what readiness implies? Constant vigilance. Vigilance to the Word of God. Constant vigilance to be ready. And Paul believes for you and for me that you will be fully prepared. Fully prepared. To be able to stand no matter what comes your way. So my encouragement to you today is let peace prepare you. Let peace make you stable. And may you take this peace, the good news of God, to somebody else. I asked at the very beginning, let me ask you one more time. What footwear are you using in this spiritual battle today? May I propose to you, the shoes of peace could be a game changer if you allow the good news of Jesus Christ to firmly fit your feet. His peace is good for you. Trust him. He'll see you through. With all eyes closed, heads bowed in this place today, I want to pray for those of us here, and you're unpeaceful. You've got something. Number one, I'm going to start with the first part of it, of the pieces that I had discussed with us, spiritual peace. Maybe you are here in this room today, you do not have spiritual peace with God. You have never submitted to his authority and his rulership, that he is king. You may be online and you're listening to this as well. Never submitted. And you're saying today, Sean, I want to submit my life because I need that peace with God. If that is you in this place today, count of three, will you raise your hand, look me in the eyes, place your hand back down. If you're online, you can click that link as well. But if you here today need that spiritual peace with God, this first option is for you. One, two, three, is there anybody here, you've never accepted Christ, you want spiritual peace with God today? Yeah, thank you. Second question I have for you is you're here today and you don't have peace within. You feel like there's just a lot of stuff going on and storms are there and you're just not settled. And you're saying today, Pastor, I need you to pray for that for me. If that's you, will you just raise your hand quickly in this place too? But you need some inner peace today. I'm telling you that Jesus can deliver this to you because it's who he is. And the third thing that I'm going to ask us is perhaps you have got relational unpeace moments, hostility between people, and you're saying, Pastor, I need you to pray for me for that. So if that is you, will you just raise your hand? If you've got some hostilities at play, relationships that need some work on, thanks for your hands. Thanks for your honesty. It's important. So pray with me here. God, thank you that today I see peace is something that I have to put on. I've got to make a choice now, whether it is spiritually, psychologically, relationally, I got to make a choice to make that exchange today. Your word indicates that you love me, that you're for me. Now I ask for your wisdom to walk through these moments. I know you see me today, and I know that you choose to rescue me. So allow me to be rescued. Help me to put onto my feet peace. Help me to look at your word and the good news that it is. And help me today to recognize that I am fully prepared for this moment because of how you have made me. So Jesus, today I give you thanks for who you are, what you are doing in me. I give you praise. Help me this week to put on the right spiritual footwear as I go about my moments and my opportunities. We'll give you thanks and praise for that. I ask all of these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. First of all, if number one, you said yes to Jesus today, that spiritual peace with God, I'm going to encourage you to text the word life. It's 250-478-7113. One of our pastors will be there, want to talk with you, help you on that journey. So make sure that you do that. If you're brand new to Colwood Church today for the first time, welcome to you. Make sure you see Pastor Levi and Jan, who are actually sitting in the Welcome Center over there. Go say good morning to them. And other than that, church, I want you to irene. Go put the shoes of peace on. Let's go be peace messengers. Have a fantastic week. We'll see you next week. Love you. Bless you.